Hello, friends, and welcome to the Atari 7800 Homebrew Podcast, episode 53. And as always, I'm your host, Sean. And thank you for downloading and streaming and doing whatever else it is you do with podcasts in order to listen to them. And wow, this is really ridiculous, isn't it? I average about one episode per year lately, yet we've had a whole flood of 7800 homebrews. And of course, a lot's been going on since. There's been Atari 50, which everybody's been talking about. I finally had a chance to actually check it out at my friend and Pie Factory co-host Jim's place. He has it on his Switch, and it is quite something. If you use a device that can play Atari 50, definitely get it. Really enjoyed playing it. Having said that, do I have Atari 50? No. And I'll tell you exactly why. I use a Mac. Well, two Macs, actually. Three, if you count my work computer. And it's not available for Mac. It's only available for Windows and some consoles. We'll get a real computer. Yeah, you know what? Shut up, okay? Shut up. There's a reason I have a Mac. And I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but I was just so sick of Windows. And my last job, I went through 9, almost 10 years of having to deal with Windows on a daily basis. And actually, all my jobs, since I started working as a 15-year-old, had to deal with Windows, and I hated every f***ing second of it. Well, that job that I was talking about that I was dealing with Windows for 9 years straight, well, I lost that job about a year ago. Which, in a way, was a shame because they had a lot of emphasis on mental health, and they had a really good time off package. But it turned out, really, it was time for me to move on. It really was. And when I found out that I was being let go, at first I was frazzled. I was kind of upset because I liked the people I was with. I liked my time off package. And I liked bringing a paycheck home. So I didn't know what was going to go on. But then when I met with HR and they told me, well, we're letting you go because essentially your position is being terminated because you're a PHP developer and we're phasing out PHP. We're bringing in people who program in Go instead. And having said that, here's your severance package. And I almost passed out. And yeah, that was that. It was a very nice severance package. And almost immediately I turned around and I got another job. And I was always thinking with that previous job that if I were to have to get another software engineering job during the interview, I would ask, what platform do you develop with? And if they said Windows, I was going to end the interview immediately and say, thank you for your time. I wish not to have this job. Now, when I interviewed for this job that I have now, I asked, what do you guys use for development here? Is it Windows? Is it Linux? And the guy interrupted me and said, we do not have a Windows device in the entire company. I said, okay, I'm listening. So, yeah, that I will say this, though. In my previous job when I was terminated, I had a Mac for company work and a PC for company work. And HR told me, we're going to send you a postage paid package for your MacBook. So when we send it out to you, send it back. And as soon as we get it back, we'll get your severance going. I said, okay, I still have the ThinkPad that I've had since day one of this job. And they said, oh, you can just keep that. So technically, I do have a device in my possession that has Windows on it. And actually, I have a dual boot installed on it. I have it defaulted to Linux. Maybe I'll get Atari 50 for the Windows side, but I haven't decided yet because my principals tell me don't let them get away with not supporting another major platform. Because you know how it felt before when you were an Amiga user for 13 years and all the big software publishers, including Electronic Arts, and a few others I can't think of off the top of my head, decided, yeah, we're going to stop supporting Amiga because of software piracy. Yeah, because software piracy never, ever happens in the Windows universe. Good grief. But anyway, I am recording this on my 49th birthday. Yeah. And I like to treat myself on my birthday, get myself a present or something. I don't remember what I got myself last year, but I did decide what I'm going to do for myself this year. To celebrate my 49th birthday, I am ending this podcast effective with this episode. That's right. Episode 53 will be the final episode. I know that I had posted some announcements in other forums saying that I still plan to do a few more, but to be honest, friends, when I sat down to bang out the scripts and plan everything out, I got so turned off. I really did. I've just had enough. I've done what I could. I can't keep up with the pace. So for that, I'm just going to say, well, for more reasons than that, I'm going to say, yeah, this is the end. Beautiful friend. It has nothing to do with Atari's recent actions and Atari Age being taken over and all that. That has nothing to do with it at all. In fact, what really puzzles me is that many people say, oh, now that Atari Age is owned by Atari, that means the end of homebrew development. Really? Why in the world would that possibly mean the end of homebrew development? You honestly think Atari Age is the only way to distribute homebrews? Come on. I'm looking at my shelf, at my Atari 7800 game shelf, and I'm counting, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, just that I see from where I'm sitting right now, 5, 7 actually, that I got from sources other than Atari Age, just in the 7800 homebrews. If I go into my 2600 homebrews, right away I see Champ Games. Yeah, I got them from Atari Age, but Champ Games also sells them outside of Atari Age. Atari Age is not the only way to distribute homebrews. Even then, I seriously doubt that's going to put any kind of hampering on any possibility of getting homebrews out there. The only thing is, because Atari now owns Atari Age, that's going to put the kibosh on most, if not all, homebrew developments of already existing titles. For example, I really doubt you're going to go to Atari Age and suddenly see available in the homebrews, say, an Atari 7800 version of Wacko or Mr. Do. One thing I did notice is that there are a lot of homebrews that are still available on Atari Age that are conversions of existing titles. In fact, let me pull that up on my web browser here. AtariAge.com/store. Let's just go to the Atari 7800 by just that platform itself. Go under games. Let's see, 2048. That's not an original right there. Asteroids Deluxe. Centipede Trackball version. Frenzy, which by default means also Berserk. Space Duel. That's just in the Atari 7800. Now, I don't know about 2048. 2048 was originally, at least as far as I know, a cell phone game. But look at those other titles that I mentioned. They're all owned by Atari. But wait a minute, Frenzy is a Stern game. Yeah, but Atari actually owns it now. So I'm noticing that basically conversions of games that are not by Atari are the ones that were discontinued. So that kind of makes sense. Why would Atari want to sell somebody else's products when you think about that? So to me, that makes perfect sense. It really does. But having said all that, there's still a few games I do want to talk about just very briefly. And I'll start with one that I was going to talk about anyway, and that's called Dragon's Cash. And it's by Todd Fermansky from 2020. So yeah, this shows you how far behind I am. I was hoping to have basically a Dragon quadrilogy. The Dragonfly cartridge, Dragon's Cash, Dragon's Descent, and Dragon's Havoc. But I'll get to why I'm not doing that momentarily. But Dragon's Cash is really it's a columns clone. It's a very nicely done columns game for the Atari 7800. If, like me, you first played Columns on, say, the Sega Game Gear, or maybe even the Sega Master System, I think you'll like it. I think you will. It's really nicely done. It's pretty simple. It's Columns. That's all there is to it. And there is a head-to-head mode that I was actually able to try once when Jim came over. And what more can I say? It's nicely done. I recommend it, especially if you don't already have Stratagems Deluxe for the Atari 2600. That's a really well done one, too. Pac-Man Collection 40th Anniversary Edition. There are two reasons that I would just absolutely drop everything and get this. Number one, it's Pac-Man, and I love Pac-Man. Always have since it first came out. And number two, it's by Bob DiCrescenzo, a.k.a. Pac-Man Plus at Atari Age. His titles are just amazing. That's all there is to it. Now, the 40th Anniversary Edition of Pac-Man Collection, it's different from the previous versions in that, essentially, you are getting the arcade graphics on the 40th Anniversary Edition. The only thing is, because of the resolution, the mazes cannot fit on the screen, so they scroll up and down as you play. Think Junior Pac-Man on the Atari 2600. There is an option to play shorter versions of the mazes if you don't want to scroll. One of the things I like about this that I think is also on the previous versions of Pac-Man Collection is that you can use the difficulty switches to adjust things. You can adjust the number of lives you have. You can adjust the speed of your character. You can start at whatever level you want. Well, at least whatever bonus prize you want, I should say. It has the same games as the previous Pac-Man Collection. Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Pac-Man Plus, Ms. Pac-Man Plus, Hangley Man, Random Mazes, all that good stuff. The only thing that I don't like about the 40th Anniversary Edition pre-packaged version is that you're limited to TIA sound. TIA sound. I kind of wish there was a way you could pop open the cartridge and slap a Yamaha chip in it, but still, it's wonderful. Playing with the TIA sound is still pretty well done. It's still really good. You'd never guess it was TIA, probably. You'd think, well, it's got to be Pokey. No, it's not. It's TIA sound. It's still done pretty impressively well. Now, having said that, if you've never interacted with Bob DiCrescenzo before, let me tell you something about Bob. He is one of the most generous people out there. He really is. Which is why it was not surprising to me that after the Atari takeover of Atari Age and he announced he was retiring from further homebrews, he made all of his homebrews available for download for free. Good Lord. That is just incredibly, well, for Bob, it's not so incredible because it's not the least bit surprising to me because he's always been just really nice and generous. So on behalf of all Atari 7800 fans, I just want to say thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. And thank you for all you've done for the Atari 7800. You are one of the reasons I originally bought an Atari 7800. And another game I did not want to end this podcast without talking about this one. One of my favorite arcade games from way back. It is a conversion by Daryl Gunther, aka Daryl 1970, called Popeye from the Nintendo arcade game. When I played this on my 7800, my thought after playing a few games of it was, this is insultingly great. This is the best home version of Popeye you'll ever play. It's better than any of the other ones I've tried, any of the other ones I've seen on YouTube. The only way you could play this better at home is if you have the actual arcade game or if you have MAME. And even then, I kind of wonder about that too, because there is something peculiar about the arcade game Popeye. In that first screen that's on every level, in which you're just going up the platforms and there's Popeye's house on one side, Olive's house on the other, and you have that bucket in the middle at the top row, and you can use that punching bag to drop that bucket on Brutus's head. Now, when Brutus has the bucket on his head, on the arcade version, if you walk past Brutus, Popeye kind of warps to the other side and skips a couple of steps. On the Atari 7800 homebrew version by Daryl 1970, he very smoothly and seamlessly walks past Brutus, which I think is a better way to do it. But other than that, I don't think you'd be able to tell which version you're playing just by playing it. So if you have a chance to get Popeye, by all means do so. It is wonderful. It has all the screens you're familiar with. It has the skulls once you pass level one. I don't know what's past level two, though, because I seldom make it past the first screen in level two because those skulls usually nail me. But yeah, I was so happy to have this Popeye by as converted by Daryl Gunther with the box manual and label art by John Calcano, a.k.a. Atari Boy 2600. Now, one of the reasons that I liked Popeye in the arcade was that I used to watch the cartoons all the time. Now, my brother and I loved the old black and white ones. I know they've since been colorized, but I do think you can still see them in black and white in various streaming services and whenever they're shown in reruns. The only thing I did not realize because I was a little kid was that a lot of the humor I was laughing at was kind of racist, and I feel bad about that now. But aside from those bits, which I did notice were eventually cut when they would show them in later years, more recent years. But what I loved about those old black and white ones was the voice actors were obviously ad-libbing a lot. And I always thought that was kind of amusing. But speaking of voice actors, one thing that I did learn not terribly long ago is that the guy who did the voice of Popeye, he did it for decades. Going back to most of those old black and white ones, all the way up to, say, the ones that were produced in the 80s, it was the same guy. He wasn't the original guy. I don't remember his name, but he wasn't the original guy either. The original one, I don't know his name off the top of my head either, but apparently his ego got too big for the studio, so they fired him and brought in the other guy. But this whole Brutus thing, why was he called Brutus in the video game? Well, it's because the video game was based on the King Features Syndicate version of Popeye, which I believe was from the 60s, the early 60s, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going off the top of my head on all this. But for some reason, the lawyers at King Features Syndicate thought that they did not have the rights to the character of Bluto. So they had to create a new enemy for Popeye. Now, it's not that they just renamed Bluto to Brutus. Brutus was a completely different character. Bluto himself, just like Popeye, was a sailor. Bluto was all big and muscular. Brutus wasn't really muscular. He was just fat. Obviously, Bluto was constantly trying to win the love of olive oil over Popeye. Brutus was just a general menace to everybody. So there's another difference between those two characters. It turns out, however, that the lawyers for King Features Syndicate were wrong. They actually did have the right to use Bluto. But, hey, it was too late. They already had this Brutus character, and that's what they stuck with. So that's why in the video game, you see Brutus and not Bluto. It's because they based the game on that particular iteration of the Popeye cartoons. Also, that's the only iteration of the cartoons, I believe, that has the Sea Hag. So that was kind of my little background information about the game Popeye. So that's what I had to say about that. But why, Sean? Why are you ending this podcast? Well, a lot of reasons. Again, going back to how it seems that I'm only getting one episode out a year. And it's simply because I just don't have the patience, the energy or anything to keep doing this podcast, to sit down and research for it, to plan it out, to record it, to post-produce it. I've just lost the desire. And I mentioned that there's a whole slew of new homebrews coming out and that have already come out. And in fact, as I look at my shelf, I see a few more that I have not talked about. Unowar S, another Bob DiCrescenzo title. Wizard's Dungeon. Night Guy in Low Res World Castle Days. Animal Keeper. Venture. By the way, Animal Keeper is a Zookeeper clone, but with some differences. For example, it does not have the screen in which you're jumping the platforms to rescue your girlfriend. It doesn't have the gate and extra keeper screen. It has alternative screens, though. Definitely an interesting variety. I have both that and the 2600 version of Zookeeper, and I like them both equally for different reasons, but there's a fourth game for you. But I just can't keep up with the pace of new homebrews anymore. And also, with the increased pace of new homebrews, that also means an increased variety of genres. And we're getting into genres that I just plain don't like, and that I feel I cannot really put the proper effort into learning. I don't feel I would be a good person to go over these games. I really don't. And also, it gets expensive to keep having to buy these homebrews. It really does. I mean, yeah, I could re-enable Patreon, but I don't want to do that. I really don't. Especially given how slowly these episodes have been coming out. I don't want people to give me money for doing nothing. Well, actually, that'd be nice, but if I get enough donations, I have to pay taxes on it. So I don't want to have to pay taxes for doing nothing. So yeah, just so many reasons. And honestly, I just need more time for myself and for my other projects. And in fact, you're going to hear about one of those other projects right about now.
Let's have some fun. Let's invite our friends to a Polynesian Winding.
If you've ever been to a used record shop, estate sale, or a Goodwill store, you've likely seen them. Records of motivational speeches, instructions on how to set up your state-of-the-art 1972 stereo system, gospel quartets that inexplicably have five members, and learning to belly dance.
Forward, right, backward, left.
Who buys this stuff, you've undoubtedly asked? Well, to answer your question, I buy this stuff.
Gentlemen, get the thing straight once and for all. The policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder.
I'm Sean, and I have a weird record collection. If you've ever had the slightest curiosity about these vinyl oddities, but weren't curious enough to part with your money, have I got great news for you. I parted with my money so you don't have to part with yours. My Weird Record Collection is a podcast that discusses these interesting albums, complete with samples and, whenever possible, the history behind these wonders of wax. While I'm at it, I'll also go over some general record collecting tips and tricks with you along this crazy journey. Keep an eye out on your favorite podcast provider starting in January 2024. In the meantime, you can follow me on the various social media platforms under the handle My Weird Records, or search for My Weird Record Collection on Facebook. So subscribe to My Weird Record Collection. It's sure to get a million downloads in January.
And exaggerate your mouth movements.
So yeah, I hope you check out My Weird Record Collection starting up in January. But that's all I wanted to say, though. This is the end of the podcast. One of the other reasons that I'm stopping the podcast is because it is literally a technical pain in the butt to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's my fault. That's my fault, because when I started this podcast, I was still fairly new to podcasting. And I wasn't really aware of the best routes to go when it comes to actually publishing the podcasts and getting the RSS feeds going. So in my hosting provider's add-ons packages, I saw there was this app that you could run that makes releasing podcast episodes easy. And to be quite honest, it really did the job. It did it well. It made it easy for me. The problem is they stopped development on that particular app a long time ago, which wouldn't be a huge problem, except that it's run off of an older version of the PHP web development language. My provider currently runs on PHP 8. And the podcast app that I use is not compatible with that. So when I release an episode of this podcast, I literally have to temporarily downgrade the version of PHP that my hosting provider uses, then go ahead and release the episode, because if I don't downgrade the PHP, the app fails. And then once the episode is up and running, I have to re-upgrade the PHP version back to PHP 8. But Sean, just keep it at the old version. Sorry, I can't. One of the reasons is that I use that hosting provider to do my own development, my other side projects, which rely on PHP 8 with the security features and other things that PHP 8 has that the earlier versions don't have. So during that time that I downgrade the PHP so I can release a new Atari 7800 homebrew podcast episode, my other sites literally do not work. And that's not good. That's not good. Could I look for a separate way to do the podcast? Yeah, I could. But then again, I would also have to redo the RSS feed. And that's just more trouble than it's worth, quite frankly. At least for me, it is. But putting all that together, and with other various reasons I'm not going to get into right now, mainly because I didn't take any notes and I've forgotten what I was going to say, it's time for me to put an end to this podcast, because I just can't keep up with it anymore. I just can't. I'm still going to get new homebrews as they come out. Unfortunately, because I'm not doing this podcast anymore, it means I'm not going to get every single one of them. For a long time, I had a habit of buying at least one new homebrew every month from Atari Age. Sometimes I go a little bit liberal with that and I'd buy a homebrew from somewhere else, but that's okay. At least I was still supporting the developers. I have kind of broken that habit over the last few years, which is weird because I now make more money than I did before. So you'd think I could afford two more. But the thing is, if I'm not going to be doing this podcast, why would I buy homebrews in a genre that I don't like? And also, I have limited room, so where would I put these cartridges, really? But hopefully someday in the near future, it will be that new homebrews will come out as downloads as well as physical cartridges, so that way people with multi-carts could just download them without having to add some space. I think Champ Games is going to be doing something like that soon, if they are not already doing it. But, man, what else can I say? I know what I can say. I can thank people who have been instrumental in helping me get this podcast both off the ground and keeping it in the air. Of course, my undying thanks, first and foremost, goes to No Swear Gamer. He did a wonderful job with the podcast that begat this one, the Atari 7800 Game by Game podcast. If you haven't heard that one, good Lord, go back and listen to it. He did a terrific job with it, right up to the end. Now, he's the reason this podcast exists, because Phil didn't want to cover the homebrews. He just wanted to go with the original titles that came out during the 7800's lifespan. Official titles, too, that were mass-produced and everything. He wasn't interested in the homebrews, so I asked him, hey, I'll step up and I'll do the homebrews, and he said, great. And he's helped me out a lot with it. Phil is also one of the most generous people out there, one of the nicest guys out there. And again, my undying thanks to Phil. Other people who've helped out here, of course, Bob DiCrescenzo. Thanks to my Pi Factory podcast cohort, Jim. He's also been quite helpful with this and gave me his blessing to do another video game podcast. Without him, oh no! Ferg's helped me out a couple of times in this show and is also a really, really nice guy. S. Ramirez, 2008 on Atari Age. And also Richard Grounds, also both very supportive. So thank you both. There are other people that I know I'm forgetting. And I apologize, but if you're sitting here saying, hey, what about me? I did this for your podcast. Yes, you did. And I thank you. My head's just not in the right place right now to remember who did what and everything. Thank you to all of you who have contributed. That includes Eugenio, Greg from the SNES podcast, contributing your reviews, your Patreon support when I had Patreon, and just your general well wishes and attaboys. And also the, really hurts me to say this, the late Air Shack. Rest in peace, my friend. Just so many people to thank that I can't even think about it right now. And just, if you're listening to this right now at this point and haven't turned it off in disgust, thank you for hanging with me. You can still hear me on Pie Factory Podcast, eventually Autobiography of a Schnook will start up again. And if you have the slightest interest in the Beach Boys, hey, my wife and I host Tune X Podcast because we talk about them a lot. So we figured, hey, let's record our conversations and make a podcast out of them. And of course, coming up in January, there is my weird record collection. By the way, even though I am ending this podcast, I'm still keeping the feed alive so that way you can always go back and listen to the episodes whenever you want. I'm also going to keep the email address homebrew78@fab4it.com up and running just in case you still want to reach out to me long in the future. And I'm also going to keep the website that powers the podcast up. It doesn't cost me a cent to do that. It doesn't cost me a cent to keep the email alive. I am going to close down the social media accounts though. So I'm going to say by the end of October, that's when the Facebook page I'm going to shut down and the Twitter account I will also shut down. Yeah, I call it Twitter. I don't call it X. Now, having said that, another reason I decided to close this podcast down was that, quite honestly, Zero Page Homebrew does a much better job than I ever did. And to me, I would recommend Zero Page Homebrew as the go-to source for information about these wonderful games that people have been making for our systems. And seeing the actual gameplay happen, they get the news out really quickly. Rather than, say, this guy right here who takes years. So I highly recommend Zero Page Homebrew for this. But other than that, I'm just going to hang up the headphones on this and call it a day. And as I have done since episode zero of this podcast, I'm going to implore you, please give these homebrew developers some support. They work hard keeping our wonderful 7800 Pro system alive, so show them the proper thanks. Thank you, friends.